grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is our second lesson this morning, taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Dear fellow redeemed, last week I saw on Facebook the picture of a young lieutenant loaded down with battle gear. She is quite petite, and I was frankly surprised that she was able to stand up under all that equipment she was wearing and the weaponry that she was bearing. I am glad, though, that she has all that there in Afghanistan. I know that the Lord will take care of Sam, a girl that I baptized and my wife had as a student in preschool, absolutely according to His will while she's over there with her husband. And yet, it is the bulletproof vest and the helmet and the boots and the automatic weapons that will be the means through which he will do just that. God provides for us the armor and the weapons so that you and I will be able to defeat our spiritual enemies. When Paul wrote these words, he was likely chained to a Roman soldier in a prison in Rome. And as he penned this letter, the Holy Spirit inspired him most likely to look over and to draw on what he saw right there for this metaphor of our protection through which God delivers us. And in these familiar words, Paul describes the fully equipped Christian warrior. We see, first of all, that the armor of God is necessary because of who our enemy is. And secondly, the armor of God is what is strong and powerful. Armor of God means armor that belongs to God and comes from Him. Our strength and power against our spiritual enemies does not come from inside of us. It is protection that God owns and gives us as a gift of His grace from the outside. In just a moment, we'll take a look at those various pieces of armor and that weaponry. But first, we'll remember that half the battle is knowing and recognizing who our enemy is. Our enemies are not flesh and blood like we are. They are not of this world. And while Jesus Christ has destroyed their power in our lives by His sacrifice on the cross, those spiritual enemies are still very cunning, very wily in the way that they try to lead us astray, in the way that they tempt us. These enemies are evil angels. They are demons. They are the rulers and the authorities and the principalities of darkness that fill the spiritual realm around this earth. Were we to try to fight them by ourselves, we surely would be defeated. If we would try to fight them in our own weakness, in our own lack of power, we would never have a chance. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians and to us, despair of yourself. Rather, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. That young lieutenant that I mentioned earlier is in supply. And so whenever her fellow soldiers need a piece of equipment, they come to her. She's the one that has and distributes the armor and the weaponry. They know that they need it. They know that they don't have it of themselves. And so recognizing her authority, they come to her to receive it. You and I know that it is only the Lord our God who has the authority and the power to equip us against our spiritual enemies. He has what we need. Without that, we don't have what we need. And so we go to Him. We go to Him in the confession of our sins. We go to Him with our prayers. We go to Him with our daily lives. We come to Him in baptism and in the Lord's Supper as He gives us that strength and that power so that we can daily overcome our enemies. As Paul's eyes turned to that Roman soldier next to him, he was reminded of a greater enemy. And that greater enemy is the devil, Satan, one evil angel, who is the ruler of all the evil angels in a well-organized army that has one purpose and one goal in life, and that is to destroy your saving faith in Jesus Christ. And don't think that it can't happen to you. And I shouldn't think and don't think that it couldn't happen to me. Because those spiritual enemies, you know this, are at us, attacking us each and every moment of our lives. How are we able to stand? To take our stand? And in the end, to be still standing? It is by putting on that armor of God. The Apostle Paul lists the equipment of the Roman soldier in the order in which they would put it on. In the what Paul calls the day of evil. For a soldier, obviously, that day of evil would be a day of battle when they finally had to go out and face the enemy. I like the interpretation here that that day of evil means not just the last day, although I think that certainly is true. I think the day of evil here just refers to every day that we have to face our enemies. Like Job had to face his enemies when he lost everything that he had. Or when David faced his enemies when he saw Bathsheba and lusted after her. Or Joseph when he faced his enemy when Potiphar's wife asked him to commit adultery with her. Or Peter, when he faced his enemies behind the house of the high priest and was tested and failed the test and denied Jesus. I don't know what evil fills your days, but you know. And you don't know what evil fills my days, but I know. And we know that dressed only in that armor of God, armed only with that shield and that weapon, will we stand? Will we remain standing? And in the end, be standing when Jesus returns? But Paul writes, stand now against the days of evil in that equipment. First of all, the Roman soldier would put on a belt or a girdle around his middle. And Paul says that's truth. We have wrapped around us the truth of God's Word. The only thing that will expose God's, or rather that God will use to expose Satan's lies, what we call false doctrine, what we call relaxing moral standards. When those lies come against us, we are girdled with the truth of God's Word that will keep us safe. And then the soldier would put on the breastplate of righteousness, or the breastplate, what we would call a bulletproof vest or a Kevlar vest that a soldier puts on. It covers the heart and keeps the heart safe. What keeps our hearts safe is not our own attempts at righteousness, because those fail. What we put over our hearts is the assurance of our forgiveness of sins by the righteousness of Christ under the law, a holiness that He offered up for us on the cross. And it is His righteousness, His justification, that keeps our hearts safe. Satan can bring all kinds of charges against our hearts. Our consciences can accuse our hearts of all kinds of failings to try to drive us into despair. But over our hearts, we have that breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. After that, the soldier would put on his boots. He had to have good footwear. If you stand up at work, if you're a hiker, you know you got to take care of your feet. I guess that's one thing they tell you in the Army. I don't have that personal experience, but I think they tell you to take good care of your feet so that you can charge, so that you can withdraw and recharge when you need to, so that you have some firm footing when you're swinging your sword or when you're firing your weapon. And you and I have that sure footing of the peace that we have with God through the gospel. God has in Christ reconciled us to our Father in heaven. You and I are at peace with God because He has removed, covered that barrier of sin and iniquity that separated us. With that feat of the readiness of peace through the gospel, you and I can stand firm. We can attack, and we can withdraw when we need to regroup, sure that we may attack again. And then the soldier would take up the shield. And this is the long shield, a leather shield, often soaked in water. It would cover him from the top of his head to the tips of his feet. And he would hold that shield up, and flaming arrows would hit that wet leather and they would be extinguished. That shield that we have is faith. And faith here means the sum total of all we believe. Our Christian faith, our Lutheran faith, the doctrines, the teachings that we hold up against Satan's lies and Satan's temptations. It could apply to our faith, our believing in Jesus, because that believing in Jesus is based on those truths of Scripture. But I like that idea that it really is the sum total of all doctrine we confess that is able to resist the lies and the temptations to sin. And finally, the soldier would take into his hand a sword. This was a short sword that with which he would attack. Christians are not just on the defensive. We can also be on the offensive with the sword of the Spirit. I always thought that that would be the nicest name for a church. sword of the Spirit, Lutheran Church, with which we attack false doctrine, with which we attack Satan when he tries to tempt us. We don't just sit passively back, fighting him off and trying to block his blows, but rather with that sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God, we go out into the world and fight for Jesus Christ and fight for His truth. And interestingly, the word here that's translated word doesn't mean the Word of God in general. It means a specific word that you would use in a specific circumstance. Think of Jesus when He was being tempted in the wilderness. For every specific temptation that's recorded, Jesus quoted a specific Bible passage against that temptation. And that's what Paul's indicating here. That I have a specific Word of God that I memorized in catechism or in Sunday school or as an adult that I can draw out and use and attack that particular temptation. To be safe, to be powerful, you and I need to be dressed in that full armor of God. To hold in our hands the shield of faith and to wield the whole sword of the Spirit. In other words, you and I need to be people of the Word. Each and every day, I individually need to be in the Word. As a congregation, Bethlehem needs to be rooted in God's Word. Our church body needs to be grounded only in God's Word. That God equips us with that armor and gives us those weapons certainly is another evidence of His amazing grace. Amen.